Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, and we're here to bring you the finer things in the food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 a.m. to noon. You can check us out on restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Hey, Francis, how are you this morning?
I'm well, except I messed up the intro. You never let me do the intro, and now I know why.
Well, I never... I had to let you do it today because I'm half asleep still.
Yeah, sorry about that.
6:45 in the morning, way too early for me.
Yeah.
That's when normal human beings wake up. It's not supposed to be when I wake up.
Yeah, not restaurant folk. Speaking of restaurant folk, last month the 2007 Zagat survey winners for New York City were announced. Now, you may wonder why we aren't talking about the New Jersey Zagat survey, which you can pick up, certainly the New Jersey Zagat survey, but in this what they call the secondary markets, and I'm a little upset about that. No, not really. They update.
Sorry, Francis, we're a secondary market. That's just the way it is.
But they update the scores every couple of years, but in major cities they update them every year. And this is big stuff. There were some great articles about it and how people reacted to it. And in New York City, Le Bernardin kept its place at the number one restaurant in the 2007 Zagat survey.
It's a great restaurant. It's just Le Bernardin is a great
it's
restaurant.
The number one for 4 years running and 7 of the last 9 years. Okay, mortgage your house and go to Le Bernardin because it's not cheap. It's great. But Gramercy Tavern, owned by Danny Meyer, one of the restaurants owned by Danny Meyer, who's author of his new book on service and hospitality. We had him on the show. His Gramercy Tavern was voted the most popular restaurant for the third year in a row, and with good reason. Now, the Zagat survey is interesting, and I like it, and I think it's valuable, and I use it. I use it on, and now that it's online, I use it a lot.
We use it all the time.
It's got, in New York City alone, there's 2,014 restaurants. I will tell you that I find it to be more accurate in large cities. But remember, when you go to Tampa, when you go to other cities across the country, you're getting, it's what's voted on. You know, there may be restaurants that are missed by it that...
Well, who's voting? Okay, let's look at who's voting in Tampa. You have two sets of people who vote. The people who live in Tampa, and at the same time you have all the tourists who come into Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two types of restaurants that are going to succeed in a city like Tampa.
But I think there is a good reason. We're going to be talking with Andrea Strong of the Strong Buzz, which is a newsletter that you can get by email. Go to strongbuzz.com.
We've spoken to Andrea a few times. She's great.
Yeah, she's terrific. And the thing is, you will find stuff from Andrea if you subscribe to her newsletter that's much more current than Zagat, let's say, because she's out there on the front lines and she's a professional and she's tied into what's currently opening. And she may also offer different opinions. I sometimes disagree with Zagat. Rarely does Zagat send me to a restaurant that I think is terrible, because if that many people like it, it's got redeeming qualities. But often, Zagat misses a restaurant that I think is extraordinary.
Yeah, I think you've exactly hit the exact point of Zagat's weakness, and that is you rarely do you find the little hidden jewel box in Zagat's. Rarely do you find the new cutting-edge restaurant that just opened.
Well, also, I think that there are some restaurants that, you know, most people don't really care for. They're not ever going to win most popular restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I hate to be New York-centric, but New York diners are pretty sophisticated, okay? So in New York, this is less a problem than in some other places. But I've been to cities where there are a little restaurants where they're doing amazing stuff. But, you know, if you're out in certain parts of the Midwest and you serve your steak rare, people don't like it, and they're not going to review you well in Zagat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gross exaggeration, but you get it.
It is actually a gross exaggeration.
It's not that gross. I've been to the Midwest. Try and get a rare steak.
So, like in Pittsburgh, if you order a salad with no French fries on it, people are going to look at you like, what?
And this is a
he
quote.
He doesn't want French fries on his salad. What's wrong with him?
This is a quote that I've gotten from another region. Honey, you can't eat that. It'll make you sick. Yes, I can. It's a rare steak. It's fine. I'll be perfectly fine. But that's one of the weaknesses of Zagat. But it's so powerful. And again, rarely will it send you wrong, but sometimes it will miss places that are right, especially outside the greater New York area. But it is so powerful because it's so easy and convenient to use. I'm going to a foreign city. I'm like, I don't want to take a chance. I want to find some place that's great. I don't know the local blog. I don't know the local food culture. Mm-hmm. I go to Zagat. I look it up by price range.
And you can carry it around. It's literally a pocket guide, so you can stick it in a breast pocket or the outside pocket of a suitcase.
And the big thing about Zagat is the indices in the back. Find me a restaurant in this neighborhood. Find me a restaurant with a fireplace. Find me a restaurant sorted by best cuisine, sorted by best decor, sorted by best service.
Most romantic. There's all these great places.
And frankly, you know, Mark's a little behind the times because he doesn't carry a PDA. But if you have a PDA, it's, you know, everything's the world's in your pocket. But, you know, too much information is the same as no information at all. Zagat has it organized for you. Now, hold on a second. I just to point out that...
You don't carry a PDA.
Oh, no, I'm behind the hot times of you. And I don't want to, okay?
You're making me look bad, but you don't carry a PDA.
Oh, no, I said that with the utmost respect. I have no... If I could not carry a cell phone, I would try that.
I do think that they're making us go the wrong way.
Absolutely. It's just a way to get more work out of you. Okay, here's a quote...
It's working. I'm working more.
No. Here's a quote from Sharon Pachter. Except for your iPod, you should carry that and listen to the restaurant guys all the time. Here's a quote from Sharon Pachter, who this is big news. She's one of the owners of Grocery Restaurant in Carroll Gardens, which is a neighborhood in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And in 2004, she has this little 30-seat restaurant, right? She was ranked 7th best in New York City, okay? Her 30-seat restaurant went bazonkers, okay? Here's a quote from her. It changed our lives. The night the guide was made public, Grocery's phone rang so much that the restaurant's credit card machine jammed. They eventually had to install a second phone line and hire someone to take reservations. It came out of left field like a tidal wave, she said, and it changed your business forever. And something like Zagat can really do that. And what I like about it is your guests themselves that have that impact. It's the comment card that matters. You know, they don't tell you, they tell everybody else.
But let's take a city. Now let's talk about a secondary market in Zagat's for a second. You take a city like New Brunswick. What does Zagat's drive? Does it drive the locals into your restaurant? Somewhat. Does it make people drive an hour, hour and a half to your restaurant? Somewhat. It really does. But what it does is it becomes a tourist or a travel guide for the person who lives outside that region.
I remember when we jumped from having the second highest food rating in New Brunswick to having the highest food rating in New Brunswick according to Zagat. Our business went through the roof.
It was a big change. You're right.
We're a busy, busy restaurant, but all of a sudden, I'm getting these businessmen in from all over
business
the country.
Diners from Austria saying, I have read Zagat and I am coming in.
People would come in and say, you know, I've been coming to New Brunswick on business for 10 years, and I've never heard of your restaurant before. Like, well, I've been here for 14 years. Like, yeah, we just look at Zagat and we go to whatever's the best food rating in the town. And so they had been going to this other restaurant for years and years, and then they tried mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, that's a way to use that guide. Very, very powerful guide, especially at the top. And frankly, it's not a bad way to navigate a foreign city. And the other thing it's great for is I use it even in New York. I use it for the indices.
You got phone numbers, you got addresses.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've also got those indices. I want to go out to a romantic place. Let me think. Let me jog my memory. Mm-hmm. I don't really read the reviews anymore because I know what they say. But I should rip out the index page and carry that with me. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Andrea Strong of thestrongbuzz.com, one of the coolest and most current restaurant guides and restaurant newsletters you will find. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurant. We have with us, joining us again, Andrea Strong from the Strong Buzz Restaurant Newsletter. Hey, Andrea.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
We're doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Sun's finally out, so that's nice.
Never a bad thing.
You know, for everyone out there, you can go to strongbuzz.com and sign up for Andrea's newsletter, and it's really a cool thing about if you live around the New York City area about what's going on with restaurants in New York, and she always has the advance notice, but you also review restaurants. Andrea, I get two things in your newsletter. I get the this is about to happen or this has just opened, and then I get a full-on restaurant review. Is that the format you're going for? Is the heads up here?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm trying to just keep people informed about the news in the restaurant world, chefs moving around, restaurants opening, closing, and then take my readers to a restaurant with me, sort of with my restaurant review.
All right, I got a question.
And generally, the restaurant review is it's you know one it's a review based on one meal rather than, you know, someone like Frank Bruni who goes back several times. The New York Times has not offered to fund the Strong Buzz yet, though. That would be a welcome addition.
I was going to say, when you take your readers with you to a restaurant, who pays?
Yeah. So far, just me.
Andrea, I have to tell you, I'm a fairly decadent, gluttonous eating and drinking fellow.
I have to tell you, Andrea, he is.
Yeah.
But I get your newsletter all the time. Are you out 7 nights a week?
I'm out right now, actually. I'm speaking to you while stuffing my face. I have an IV of food constantly. You know, probably 5 to 6 nights a week. And, yeah, so there's a lot of eating. There's also a lot of jogging.
I was going to say that entails a certain amount of working out, I would assume.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'll never be as thin as when I was a lawyer and just too stressed out and had no time to do anything. But, you know, a few extra pounds is the price I pay for utter bliss.
For being happy.
Profession.
Well, now, you've changed. The StrongBuzz.com went through sort of a change recently.
A little renaissance.
Changed the format of it a little bit.
Renaissance, yes. Very romantic. Yeah, I added a new section called Buzzards, trying to be clever, and it's a classified section where restaurateurs can post job listings if they're looking for a chef, if they're looking for waiters or sommeliers, or a chef can post if they're available for hire, because it seemed to me that a lot of people in the industry read the Strong Buzz, and I was getting a lot of emails from chefs or restaurateurs saying, you know, I'm looking for a chef for this project, or I just left this restaurant and this is the kind of food I want to do. Do you know a restaurateur who's hiring? So I'd really like the Strong Buzz to become a community for the industry in addition to a community for people who love to eat. So the classified section on Buzzers was my attempt to sort of go with that.
See, when I first read the Buzzard section, I was afraid that there was going to be a carrion reference.
Well, now, the other thing that you do that I think is interesting is we're asking questions now of folks and sort of getting conversations going.
Yeah, I was trying to do that, and I have to say I've dropped the ball on that because it seemed like not that many people were getting into it. I'd get like 3 or 4 responses a week, and I just felt like, you know, the Strong Buzz isn't a conventional blog in that I don't post something every day. I post once a week and send out that newsletter, The Strong Buzz, every Monday. So it's not like people are there every day. They come, they don't visit. I mean, they visit to read the reviews probably every day, but the question of the week wasn't getting that much traffic, so.
Well, one of your questions of the week, I'm curious as to how you feel about it, the whole issue of the liquor moratorium in New York City.
One that no one wrote anything about.
Well, how do you feel about that? Why don't you tell our listeners about that? I think that's interesting.
The issue really came to a boiling point over the summer I think it was in the spring, when a restaurant called the European Union that actually just opened a few weeks ago.
Yeah, EU had to, well, they closed for a little while, didn't they?
Yeah,
because they couldn't get a liquor license?
They built the restaurant and applied for their liquor license, and thing about, you know, I don't want to go into a whole lecture on liquor laws in New York City, but basically you can't apply for a liquor license until your restaurant is built. So you have your architectural plans and your lease is signed.
Yeah, no guts, no glory,
so,
huh?
So, you know, it's like these guys have had their restaurant built and they're ready to go and open, and the community board opposed the liquor license under something called the 500-foot law, which says that you can't have more than 3 liquor licenses within 500 feet of each other, which is basically ridiculous. You might as well move to Iowa.
Right.
So,
out of New York City, for sure.
Yeah. The liquor board usually does not pay attention. They just grant the liquor license anyway. But in this case, the liquor board affirmed the community board's recommendation not to give EU a liquor license. EU opened anyway with a BYOB policy, and then the police came in and enforced this, like, arcane law called the bottle club permit that every restaurant that's BYOB has to have. And basically, it was just a whole, you know, it was a big mess, and these guys couldn't open their restaurant that they had spent millions of dollars in building. And, you know, it's a restaurant. It's not a nightclub. And I think Sheldon Silver is attempting to change the laws. And I'm not completely familiar with what his proposal is, but effectively, right now there's a moratorium on liquor licenses, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and it really is hurting the economy of the restaurant in New York City. And, you know, again, we're not living in rural Montana. We're in the greatest city on earth. So
yeah, I didn't like that this was kind of arbitrarily
foisted
upon EU. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that it's very interesting. In Jersey, it's one of the few things that's a little more sane than New York City. You apply for the liquor license, locating the liquor license prior to building, which seems to me to make a heck of a lot more sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, shelling out millions of dollars to build a restaurant only to be told, sorry, you can only serve juice, is not really...
Well, it could lead, if you think about it, to the world's nicest root beer bar in New York City. We may see that one day. Of course, someone's going to go out of business.
I think that there is... Do we have to break?
Yeah, we have to leave it there for just a moment, but we'll be right back, and we're going to talk about what's going on with restaurants in New York City with Andrea Strong with TheStrongBuzz.com. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Today we are proud to present Jackie Naylor.
Love me, leave me, left.
Once upon a time, New Year's Eve was a night for swank jazz, champagne, and caviar. Ring in 2007 at just such a gathering with us. The Restaurant Guys present a New Year's Eve jazz concert at the Crossroads Theater starring Ms. Jackie Naylor. Jackie's been called the new voice of jazz by Vogue magazine. Jazz Times says, in the never-ending Next Big Thing sweepstakes, bet on Jackie Naylor. She's headlined internationally. She's played with Michael McDonald and David Sanborn. And on New Year's Eve, she'll play to a sold-out crowd at the Crossroads Theater right next to our restaurants. Dine before or after the show at either one of our acclaimed restaurants. There are hotel accommodations within walking distance, one of the best jazz singers in the country, two of the best restaurants in the state, an evening not to be forgotten. Go to stageleft.com or CatherineLombardi.com for details, reservations, and menus, or call 732-828-4444. Put the swank back in New Year's Eve. Spend it with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. Our guest today is Andrea Strong of the fabulous restaurant newsletter, The Strong Buzz, which you can find at thestrongbuzz.com.
You know, Andrea, we started out the show today talking about the new Zagat's Guide coming out. Where do you think people are getting most of their restaurant information these days? Besides The Strong Buzz, of course.
Besides The Strong Buzz, I think a lot of people are looking to the Internet, to sites like Eater, which is, you know, the greatest source of restaurant news, I think, of course, other than The Strong Buzz, but Eater.com, Grub Street, which is New York Magazine's new, really fantastic restaurant blog. I think most people who don't live in New York City use Zagat as a way of figuring out what's good, what people like, but I sort of, and no offense to Tim and Nina, I just think it's a bit antiquated at this point.
Well,
people are so much more, you know, the Internet has made everything just a completely different playing field. Everything is so much more up to the minute with, you know, chefs moving around. You know, a book is just not... It's not really an effective medium.
All right, so much for me sending this show to the Zagat's.
Talk to us, and we've only got a minute and a half, but talk to us about food blogs and how they're working, because that's amazing to me, how the even more than your site, your newsletter, which I think is tremendous, and Zagat or Zagat's Online or reviews, food blogs are really interactive and very, very current on a daily basis. What's going on in the food blogs, and how important is it?
I think... A lot has been happening over the past year with food blogs, especially if you look at magazines and newspapers like New York Magazine and even the New York Times. They have both started their own food blogs, which I think is an acknowledgement by mainstream media that the Internet is really the most fertile ground for breaking news and reaching their readership.
Well, Andrew,
Magazine was falling behind Eater and the Strong Buzz. They couldn't break the news quick enough, so now they have Grub Street so they can compete.
I mean, just an example of how that's happening. We actually have more listeners via the Internet than we do on live radio.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, wow.
And the other thing about these web blogs is that they're interactive, that it's not just one-way communication, that the subscribers
exactly.
also post. Hey, listen, we're going to go to the news, and we're going to come right back and talk more with Andrea Strong from The Strong Buzz about what the coolest restaurants are right now in Manhattan that you need to go to. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Thank you.
everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us at restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Today, our guest is Andrea Strong from The Strong Buzz. You can find out about the cool restaurant newsletter, The Strong Buzz, by going to thestrongbuzz.com and have it emailed directly to you. And Andrea lives a bon vivant lifestyle in New York City, and recently you wrote about...
By the way, Andrea, even more bony and more vivanti than ours, okay?
Okay.
You wrote about New York Magazine's Taste of New York event, which is a big hype thing that we actually got invited to, but we didn't go to. And Mark, I didn't tell you this. We were like, no, we don't have time for that. But I wound up taking that night off.
Hold on. Francis said, no, we don't have time for that. I made sure I never saw it. That's what happened.
He's got four kids. He can never go to anything anyway.
We're like an old married couple.
I felt bad because I said, no, I'm much too busy. I couldn't possibly get the night off for that. And
you
forgot.
You missed Dan Barber's raw cauliflower.
That's what I want to talk about. But I want to tell you that I said, no, I'm too busy, can't go. And then I wound up not being that busy that night, forgetting that it was that night, and I made plans, and I met at Puck Fair, which is a bar directly across the street from it, and I thought, what's that line? Oh, I'm supposed to go to that. but you went to that, and you wrote, I really like less and less, these, you know, the taste of this, the taste of that. As a format, I like that less and less. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us about the Taste of New York and exactly what you had there?
Well, you know, the event is sort of a showcase of some of the city's best chefs and their dishes. And, you know, it's basically hundreds of people fighting their way to a small table with a couple of small bites of hopefully really great food. And it's great for chefs and the community. It's a lot of fun.
But answer me this, Andrea. Isn't it always, I mean, I do these things, I participate in these things. Our restaurant does them occasionally. I volunteer at big ones in New York all the time. We usually try and go in as guest sommeliers, or we make drinks or something at a bar. But, you know, the food is never what the food is if you go to a restaurant like that, because you've got a guy standing behind a table who normally is making food in this great kitchen. It's always a schmutz on a cracker or something that doesn't...
I was just about to say, is it really a showcase? I mean, I guess that's really the question that Francis is trying to ask.
It's supposed to be, and I think for a lot of people it is at least an introduction to the restaurant. And there's the glam factor. I mean, these are celebrity chefs, and people who are fascinated by them can, like, get up close and, like, look at them and maybe touch them and hello. And, like, you're like, oh, my God, that's Tom Colicchio from Top Chef.
Okay,
oh
so why don't they just open the chef petting zoo?
That actually is a great idea.
I think in New York City it's against the law.
They could save all that money on the food, or you could just walk up and pet your favorite chef.
You'd have to do that in Vegas. You could not do that in New York City.
Completely. Well, that'd be the Hawaiian Tropic Zone, which we'll talk about later.
Oh, my God.
So talk to us about Vegetables on a Fence.
Oh, it's just, you know, Dan Barber is a very passionate advocate of slow food and sustainable farming and... which I think are, you know, wonderful, laudable attributes, and he's a talented chef. But he served raw cauliflower in three colors on a stick. And
remarkable.
And I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous.
Was it good?
It was cauliflower. I mean, it isn't even like if I had to eat a raw vegetable, it would not be cauliflower.
Yeah.
It was like celery or carrot stick.
There was nothing even to dip it in. It was just
dipping sauce or something, but it's just like so pretentious and... I don't know. I think that there's, you know, a point where you just go a little too far. You know, people are paying over $100 a ticket to come in and experience your cuisine, and you serve them frutte without even, like, ranch sauce.
He took three pieces of cauliflower and put them on sticks, and that was it.
There was a whole sort of line of cauliflower on sticks, and he called it Vegetables on a Fence.
Brilliant.
And then you had to go up there and, like, sort of wrestle the cauliflower off of the stick and then walk around gnawing on the cauliflower.
Food costs on a dish like that's got to be pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't... it wasn't my thing.
One special.
What I was just about to ask you, and I think you've answered this question already, is it difficult to criticize chefs and things that you admire?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Dan and I have a sort of muddied path because I wrote a very sort of, I thought, funny review of his restaurant, Blue Hill Stone Barns, but it was not a positive review.
And he was not amused?
He was not amused, no. So, you know, I think Dan doesn't really like me anymore anyway, so what the hell?
it is
difficult to criticize chefs who I have a friendship with and a relationship with, you know, and I find it very difficult to do.
Remember that should you come out to Stage Left or Catherine Lombardi.
Exactly.
Remember.
Greatest restaurants in the world.
Can I tell you? We're out of your jurisdiction anyway. You can say good things about us with no ramifications. People are like, I'm not going out to Jersey.
Yeah.
I will give you a little Jerseyism. Something that just occurred to me when we had a reception years ago at the restaurant, many years ago. Here's a little piece of Jerseyana for you.
Okay.
And a guy came in and he had like a very Nutley, New Jersey kind of outfit.
You got to make fun of Nutley, New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. Nutley, New Jersey is like, well, they have clothes there that you see on The Sopranos and nowhere else. That's where it's
mm-hmm. It's also the town I grew up in, Andrea, why this particular reference was made.
The guy comes in and he says, excuse me. And we had a crew to take out, and he says, excuse me, I'm looking for the coup d'etat. I thought that was great. All right, so let's talk about briefly, I'm disturbed by this sort of what I'll call gimmicky restaurants that are trying to be serious restaurants. There's a real crossover in Manhattan. And the two that pop to mind are the Lonesome Dove Western Bistro, which you've talked about. Mm-hmm. And also I've read in your website. And what I'd really like to start talking about is the Hawaiian Tropic Zone, which is the new restaurant in Manhattan. It's a very large restaurant. It's cost millions of dollars. I hear $11 million. And it's where David Burke is cooking, and the food is served to you by girls in bikinis.
Yeah, I actually have not written about the Hawaiian Tropic Zone. I'm boycotting the Hawaiian Tropic
Zone. Oh, I was going to say, I'll bet you're going to.
But, I'm going to go with my boyfriend and see how it goes there.
Well, actually, if you're a woman, they actually make you strip down to your underwear and put a number on you when you come in.
You are joking.
No, I am joking, but did you know
but just barely.
I wasn't sure.
Do you know that at the Hawaiian Tropic Zone, that they have a waitress beauty pageant every night? So your waitresses, which are clad in bikini every night, there's a number on your waitress, like cattle, you know?
Oh, my God.
And they promenade across.
Do they have a brand as well?
That's coming. They promenade, and you vote on who you think is the prettiest waitress, and she wins $100 every night.
I don't really know what to say about that.
I think it's despicable.
I think it's really...
You know what to say
about
it.
I guess what's the difference between that and Hooters? I mean, I guess you don't have to vote on your waitress at Hooters.
No, here's the problem. First of all, at Hooters, they're wearing a lot more clothes. But look, I've said before on this show, I've been to go-go bars. I have no problem with the go-go bars. But when David Burke is in the kitchen and you're pretending to be a serious restaurant, that's where it crosses the line for me. That's where it takes every female professional in the restaurant business, and it is an assault on their credibility.
I think it denigrates females. It also denigrates the restaurant business. I think it does both.
Yeah, I would say that as well. I mean, it's just in poor taste.
Okay.
It doesn't belong in... I shouldn't say it doesn't belong in New York City, because I guess there are some things in New York City that are in poor taste. But you know what? I'm not taking it that seriously. It's like if people are having fun and making some money, you know, I'm not going to, call Gloria Steinem on this. But I think it's just ridiculous. And I think that David Burke, I mean, he's one step away from being like the corporate chef at I don't know, Fridays at this point.
Hooters.
It's like going the way of Tyler Florence at Applebee's. I mean, he's the chef at Hawaiian Tropic Zone.
Yeah, I'm taking
it. I heard that he's made these edible body sprays. Have you heard about this?
Oh, no,
they're...
sprays, like this is a spray that you spray on yourself or your...
Yeah,
no, I don't think it's for yourself. I hope it's not for yourself.
Know.
Well, you know, I have to say...
The flavor sprays, we've talked about flavor sprays a lot. I can't bash them again.
Here we have to break for... We have to go to a commercial for a moment. We're going to come right back and talk more about this. But here's my view on this. If the person that you're about to lick isn't tasty enough on their own, don't spray anything on them to make them taste good. Just lick a different person.
Don't lick them.
Just lick a different person.
Absolutely.
Andrea Strong from thestrongbus.com. We're going to talk about what are the coolest restaurants that you need to visit in New York City as soon as we come back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1145.
Floors, walls, and lighting. The Restaurant Guys learned long ago that the key to making a space look great are floors, walls, and lighting. There's no tougher test to a carpet than a busy restaurant. From design to installation to cleaning, the Gillespie Group has handled the Restaurant Guys restaurant floors for more than 10 years. Designers know what looks great on the first day. Bob Gillespie knows what will continue to look great year after year. Gillespie doesn't just install carpets. Their Quality Clean division has experience and expertise to keep that carpet looking great. In our business, it's the details that matter. In your home or office, the details make a lasting impression. The Gillespie Group handles projects from large hotels to offices right down to your living room. Look down. Go on, look down. Right there by your feet. You see, you need the Gillespie Group. Call them at 732-254-5508 or visit them at thegillespiegroup.com. Tell them the restaurant guys sent you and get a free cleaning with any installation. Remember, it's Gillespie for carpet and flooring, 732-254-5508.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. We're talking with Andrea Strong of TheStrongBuzz.com, and she's got the inside scoop of what's going on in restaurants in Manhattan. Hey, Andrea, what's going on with restaurants in Manhattan? Where do we need to go? What's cool? What's new?
This is where you need to go, I'll tell you here.
We do not want the vanilla scoop, by the way.
Yeah,
so.
You need to actually go to Brooklyn, and you need to eat at Porchetta.
Porchetta?
Porchetta on Smith Street. Jason Neroni is the chef there. He's back from California. He was originally the chef at 71 Clinton. He took over, I guess, the second chef after Wiley left.
Mm-hmm.
He is just fiercely talented. And he landed at Porchetta about a month ago now, and it's just a great little restaurant. Go in there, he'll cook for you, or you can order off the menu. It's American cuisine, sort of in the vein of, let's see, I'd say like Alice Waters, but with a lot more pork.
Sounds like my kind of restaurant, I got to tell you.
So talented, and I sound like his grandmother or something, but he really is. He's got a great palate. Everything you eat is going to have, you know, salty, spicy, sweet, sour, great seasoning. Just really, really exciting food in a great little setting.
Is Brooklyn the place to go overall now? Is that the most exciting neighborhood?
I think a lot of great things are happening in Brooklyn because young chefs who have great just have cooked with really talented chefs in New York City are trying to open their own places, and it's, you know, rents are really high here. So there's a couple of places in Fort Greene and sort of out on the outskirts of Park Slope as well, a place called Flatbush Farm that's getting good word of mouth, and another place called The Farm on Adderley. There's a great barbecue joint in Fort Greene that just opened about a month ago called The Smoke Joint. That's absolutely a must hit for their chicken wings and their braised pork shoulder. Two guys who used to work with Henry Meir at City Hall in the Cub Room and opened this place. And it's just like a little hole in the wall, and the food is just, it's killer.
You know, I think
worth the train ride.
I think this whole phenomenon of people kind of moving out to the other boroughs and young talented chefs moving out to the outer boroughs. It's simply, you can't open a restaurant in New York City unless you have either a huge financial backer, you're rich to begin with, or you fall into something and you're a chef that eventually becomes a partner. Those are the only choices.
It's really challenging. I do think I did eat at a restaurant in New York City the other night that I loved, called European Union, the one we were speaking about earlier that had the trouble with the liquor license. They opened a couple weeks ago. The chef is Sarah Ox, who was at Esca for 5 years, and it's a gastropub concept, so sort of like the Spotted Pig, but the concept encompasses all of Europe. So there's dishes from Germany, from Austria, from Scandinavia, Spain, and it's not like a total mishmash. It's very well edited, and the flavors are very precise, and it's a really great-looking restaurant designed by Avro Co., who designed Public and Stanton Social. So it's a hot place, and the food's reasonably priced, and it's just really good. There's a sandwich that you guys have to try. She bakes her own pretzel rolls, and she stuffs this pretzel roll with German sausage and Brussels sprout slaw, excuse me, and dark mustard, and it's a great sandwich.
I could eat that.
Yeah. I did eat it, and I enjoyed it very much. I didn't want to share.
I think that one of the things that is going on that's very interesting is what you see less and less of that I think you saw in the early 90s was, you know, I remember when Barbershin and David Page opened Home Restaurant on Cornelia Street. You know,
yeah.
A little hole in the wall, they did the construction themselves, you know, and they just turned out great food. And it was a young chef who had this vision and was able to actualize it.
In a very rustic-looking restaurant.
In the West Village. Mm-hmm. That's not possible in the West Village anymore because unless you have that lease that he got, you know, that's why I think that's
hard.
Why we're pretending.
I mean, Joey Campanaro did it with Little Owl, which has 8 tables.
Right.
But you're right. It's really hard. My other friend Joey Fortunato did it with Extra Virgin. And, you know, these people have been saving and – Joey Fortunato used to work with Drew, so there's great, you know, there's some clout there and maybe some investment there. And Joey Campanaro with Jimmy Bradley, so they have a great reputation that maybe they can get some money, but it's really challenging.
Well, and the other thing that's going on in Manhattan is what you're seeing with these mega restaurants. What I think these huge restaurants that they're opening in Manhattan, part of the reason that's happening is because that's a more efficient way to get their money back. If you have a little restaurant and it's busy, it's hard to pay the rent. You've got one kitchen. If you've got one kitchen serving 16,000 square feet, no matter how big it is, you can, you know, if you can do 500, 600, 700 dinners in a night.
Yeah, like Budokan. I mean, I think they do some nights 600, 700 covers.
It's not just that. When you're that small restaurant and you're the chef owner of that little 8-table restaurant, you're responsible for everything.
Yeah, you bought yourself
a job. You're responsible for the leaky roof, the toilet that backs up. I mean, you're responsible for everything.
Yeah.
There are no other middle people. Yeah, exactly. Our first restaurant was 50 seats. We understand.
That's just how we know. Well, so I think that one of the things you can find in Andrea Strong by going to strongbuzz.com is you can find some guides to how to get around in Brooklyn, because that's an exciting place to explore now.
Yeah, I'm loving checking out Brooklyn more and more. And as I said, not just Cobble Hill and Park Slope, but, you know, sort of the edges of Park Slope and into Fort Greene and, you know, the sort of not outside of Williamsburg as well. There's just a lot of fun.
Into the neighborhoods.
Food going on there.
One of these days, Andrew, you're going to have to get your passport updated and come out to Jersey and find some good food. We'll guide you to some good food all around the Garden State. We have to leave it there. We'll be back in a few moments. Andrea, thank you for joining us today.
Always
the information has been great.
Thanks Andrea. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Go to thestrongbuzz.com. You can find out. You can subscribe to her newsletter. It'll be mailed to you. How easy is that? You can get it right in your email inbox. That's where Mark and I get it. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. We are actually going to go back to our restaurants a little bit later and plan for our Thanksgiving feast.
Can't wait.
Restaurant. You know, I think that's a very interesting thing that has changed in restaurants is when we first opened, you know, Catherine Lombardi's are more, you know, people would bring their families to Catherine
Lombardi. More familial place,
but
multi-generational.
But Stage Left is, you know, kind of an urban hip, you know, fine dining restaurant. When we opened in 92, very few people went out to Thanksgiving dinner at places like that. I mean, the country inns that you would find, places where you'd normally have a wedding would have, like, the big Thanksgiving feast. But I'm amazed at how busy we are and how many people want to go out for Thanksgiving. No muss, no fuss. We do, at our restaurants, both of the restaurants, we give people a little doggy bag so they can make turkey sandwiches at 11 o'clock.
I think that's a nice, one of those things that actually Francis suggested a long time ago was, you know, you got to go home with leftovers
from
Thanksgiving.
You got to have the cranberry sauce.
Whether you're at a restaurant or you're at someone's house, you got to go home with leftovers
from
Thanksgiving.
But it's a real cultural change. Families that would never have gone out to dinner on Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve now come to our restaurant. And they've made us their tradition. And I'm sure at other restaurants across the state, they've made other restaurants their tradition. And I think that speaks of a cultural change. You get together and have champagne or something at your house, and you all go out to dinner, the whole family's there, you don't clean up a damn thing, and you go home, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that people don't cook anymore.
I spoke to somebody on the way to the station today, and he lives in North Jersey, and he's not coming to our restaurant for Thanksgiving, but he's going to another restaurant for Thanksgiving. And what he said to me was, you know, this is the first time in 26 years that I'm not having Thanksgiving in my home. You know, we can't do it anymore. We're going to go have Thanksgiving in a restaurant because You know, there's nobody to cook it.
Well, because in a lot of homes, like if two people are working, you're working right up until the day before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving dinner takes a couple of days to prepare if you want to do it right and all from scratch. And in many cases, we're finding of people who book. You know, it was grandma who made Thanksgiving dinner, and when she can't make it anymore, a lot of those things haven't even been taught to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have time. Well, thank God we have restaurants to fill the gap. But and you know, you see a lot of restaurants now offering that family style Thanksgiving turkey, which I think is a great sea change in restaurants. Anyway, you want to find out more about restaurants, go to restaurantguysradio.com or check out Andrea Strong's newsletter, thestrongbuzz.com. Hope you've enjoyed the hour listening to the Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schock.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey 1450. The time is 12 noon.